Well, I think there might be time to. No, we're not talking about this because no. I know how my brain's gonna
There's
go.
There's also holidays.
Who celebrates it? Holiday. It's also the most busiest time for church work. So
holidays.
Hey, let's roll some dice. Hello, this is me. D-Pain. I didn't forget my name. I haven't forgotten titles of things. Who are you?
Yeah, so we're getting towards the final batch of Gravity Falls episodes.
Yeah.
It feels like we've been watching Gravity Falls for like 5 years.
It hasn't been that long. It's only maybe 5 weeks.
It's been more than five.
Yeah, give or take a
36.
15. Yeah, 30. Hey, to be fair, in the course of 2 weeks, we're gonna be done Gravity Falls. Of just like, we need to get it done, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be more interesting because it's funny. Every episode we do, we're like, okay, we're about to get to Weird Mageddon, which I'm excited about. But every episode, we're like, it's not Weird Mageddon yet.
Yeah. Like, this one is very much, like...
It's cute.
It's... There is, like, character growth, but at the same time, it does have that filler episode feel.
It's a breather.
Yeah, because...
The last few were, like, revelation, 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 and this one was kind of like, oh, look, the kids get to be kids an episode again.
Yeah, and then... Well, they get to take it all the way in the next episode, but we're not there yet. Hey, spoilers for everything. There you go. We said it.
So what's our 36th fact?
Oh, yeah. I had that up. It's going to be nice to get rid of three tabs on my webpage. Yeah. So Dipper is not your average preteen. According to Mabel in the book entitled Lost Legends, Dipper doesn't own a phone. Look at him. A regular teenager just enjoying a summer vacation without technology. You spend your summer unplugged.
Does Mabel have a phone?
No, not that I know of.
Yeah.
But it's like, I didn't have a phone when I was 12 or 13.
I think I got my first phone when I was 13, 14. I had the Motorola. Well, yeah, I had the Razor.
Okay. I wanted that phone, but my parents were like, any phone you get, you have to buy. So I didn't. They're still cool phones. Like, oh man, I still look at those and I'm like, they're way cooler than brick.
They're so heavy now. And like, I know it's commonplace to argue that a lot of women's clothing doesn't have pockets, but like this barely fits in men's pockets.
Yeah, the only time it sits in my pocket is when I'm on my walk. Otherwise, I just leave it out.
Yeah, because you can't sit if it's in one of your pockets.
Mm-hmm.
It's massive now. But yeah, didn't think it. That fact was. Fine.
Yeah, it's. Let's see. It looks like the next couple are... never mind, the last one's kind of lame. But whatever. It's all good. But, yeah, we're in the final stretch. We're in the march to... Well, we've been in the march to the end.
Can I tell you, I did watch a movie recently. I watched Renfield.
Did I watch that movie, too? I'm sorry, which one? I spoke over you.
Renfield.
Hey, I watched a Nick Cage movie myself.
So, Renfield, do you just want my rating and no context? I feel like that would be funnier.
Yeah, I don't know when I'll be able... Oh my goodness, this has to go off of what we were just talking about. Can we do a Nick Cage top five, bottom five?
Oh, absolutely. So Renfield is on Peacock TV. I don't know if you know anybody that has like a subscription to Peacock.
You?
I don't. I know. Okay. The chain of other people paying for subscriptions. But yeah, so I'll just leave it. We can discuss this if you ever happen to watch it or if we watch it for the podcast. Mm-hmm. I gave it a 2 out of 10.
Oh, that good, huh?
Maybe it's because I know the source material. Maybe I didn't know what to expect from the movie and I was still let down. Ah, da, da,
da, da. So, since I also watched a Nick Cage movie, where would you rate the... like, just so I have a comparison of the massive weight of extreme talent.
6, 7?
Yeah, that's what I would rate it.
Yeah, like, that one is very easy to just enjoy the ride, right? Because... Mm-hmm. I think what that movie has that Renfield doesn't have is that in Renfield, it felt like I was looking to Strider every 15 to 30 minutes going, what's the point of the movie? Why are we here? What's happening? Whereas The Massive Talent, it's the same plot with little things mixed in, but like it's the same plot beginning to end, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're following Nick Cage try and prove that he still got it as Nick Cage.
Yeah.
Sorry. Every time I say that, I imagine this scene where he's
making out with himself.
Yeah. Whereas Renfield, in my personal opinion, watching it, I felt like it wanted to be four movies at the same time.
Mm.
So it felt to me like it wanted to be like action,
mm-hmm.
Buddy cop, comedy, romance. Oh, and I'll add in a fifth. Kind of a horror, because they put in a lot of budget for gore.
Okay. Every time I see it, it's like, isn't he like pretty much at like A&A for like a support group or something like that? Like, I think that's the only thing I saw in the trailer. Like,
yeah, and I was getting weird that they were using that as a comedy bit, so like when it comes to mental health and stuff like that, I was like, I didn't know how mm-hmm. I feel about that, but it wasn't problematic enough that I necessarily let that dock points for me. Mm-hmm. In the context of everything, what I think, in my personal opinion, like, we were trying to go back and forth, like, who is this movie for? Who is this marketed towards? We couldn't figure it out because the Rotten Tomatoes audience score is 79%.
I am under the... I have a strong belief that so many people just didn't... Like, they're just more happy to be out of the house and watching stuff after COVID lockdowns, that they're not being critical in their reviews of things.
Yeah, we knew somebody else that had watched it, and we were trying to chat with him about it, and we were like, we were talking about some of the characters in the movie. He's like, who is that? I don't remember them. Mm-hmm. And then we were like, wait, what did you like? He's like, oh, the action sequences. We were like, okay, but what about this? And he's like, I don't remember that character. And it's like,
yeah.
But...
Because there's, like, not just that, but there's, like, other films that, like, I'll see people talk about, and I'm like... From what I read about this movie, it's not good. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just interesting. Just, I think a lot of movies got like high reviews, especially once COVID restrictions started to reduce. And mm-hmm. like, I'm like, this movie, if it came out in 2019, would not get the same praise.
Yeah, I think so. This is what I think set the tone of the movie for me. So they open it up mm-hmm. and they have that like, meeting for people to find a support group for people in narcissistic relationships. That's the AA thing you're thinking about. Mm-hmm. And they essentially use the trope, you're probably wondering how I got here. And then they immediately yeah. did all of the old footage of Dracula and Renfield meeting each other all within like 5 minutes. And I was like, oh, is this like a quirky high school drama? Because every time I've seen that like trope use, it's like, time freeze, you're probably wondering mm-hmm. what happened. And it's it was tough to stay invested in it.
I will say, every time I saw that scene, all I thought was What We Do in the Shadows, when Gil, oh, not Guillermo. What's his name?
Guillermo.
Guillermo goes to the support group for the vampire hunters, and he's just like, "Yeah, we're gonna do this." And he's like, "What am I getting myself into?"
Yeah, so that's what I was gonna say. I was like, wait, did Americans see what we do in the shadows and think they can make an American action-y version? Because I didn't care. You
Yeah.
see, like, I wonder if, because it's about Renfield, they changed. It's been a while since I've read Dracula, but they made Renfield essentially. He calls himself Dracula's familiar and talks about how he's been following him for ages and how he bullies him and how they're not on a good terms and how he wants to be a good guy. And I was like, is this Guillermo, but without a personality and without real motivations?
Yeah. I don't know. It's hard for me to like any other vampire thing after just watching What We Do in the Shadows. I still gotta, oh man, that's something I need to like finish the newest season before I get rid of Hulu if I do
They're
that.
actively putting out episodes right now. Yeah, and you
I
have to wait each week for the newest to be released for the newest
have,
season.
well, I don't think I've watched, hold on, right here. Let's see.
I think they're on five now.
Yeah, I don't think I watched. I think I watched three. Yeah, I watched. Yes, I watched three. Let's see. Four I have not watched.
Is three the Colin Robinson season ending?
Yes.
Yeah, that
Yeah.
one grossed me out more than I thought it would.
Goodness, there. Oh, well. Oh, okay. I was like looking. But, yeah, they're almost done if they keep to the 10-episode series.
Yeah,
But
but I do like season four a lot. I liked season five a lot.
yeah, I need to just
Churn it out.
like, yeah, it's I think that will be the only thing I'm like sorry, I just saw the last episode of season four and the only description, maybe Colin reaches an that awkward age.
Oh no, season four is the Colin Robinson season ending.
Oh, okay, sorry, yeah, so that's season three is the pretty much when they pretty much murder everybody and then they have to go like at
Oh,
the
they become the
end.
council.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this, well, that's when
Guillermo.
Guillermo reveals that he is
A
hey guys,
bloodline.
spoilers for What We Do in the Shadows. But yeah, when he reveal, well, I'll just say reveals his ancestry. And so it's such a good show. It's I love the movie and it's like 'cause like I remember when I was watching the show and I would tell people like, "Hey, this is a good show." And they're like, "Well, should I watch it?" I'm like, "Watch the movie 'cause that is not as much of a commitment. And if you like the humor in that, then you will enjoy the TV show."
In a way, I think the TV show is e In a way, I think the TV show is easier because I
And
think you can set up the hu they set up the humor well in the first 30 minutes.
yeah, that's true. It's I just like the movie a
The
lot.
movie is very good. I want my Swearwolves movie.
Yeah. It'd be oh man, it'd be fun even if which they did give a little bit of like a nod to it, but it would be fun to see the vampires from are they in Australia or New Zealand in the
New
movie?
Zealand.
New Zealand somehow meet, but it's like I know that there is like that Easter egg of the council.
I think I saw, I don't know how true it is, but I saw something about like talking about casting, and Taika said that he doesn't like wearing makeup and doesn't like shaving his face, and because of the way he did the role in the first place. And then I think they said that they filmed the first movie under such a budget that they just asked a bunch of their friends to be in it. Because I guess
Yeah.
they got backlash in the movie that there's no female vampires, and they're like, we invited our friends, they just didn't show up.
Yeah.
You might like Our Flag Means Death. I don't remember where that airs. That one might be HBO or Max or whatever they call that one now. That's also a Tycho show, except that one is based roughly on the true story of some pirates. I forget
I
which
do
pirates.
remember hearing about that. I don't know. I'm realizing like because of all the different reading I'm doing, like one of the books. Oh, what was it? It was The Terror by Dan Simmons, I believe. And I'm like, you saying like the pirate theme and all that stuff, I'm like, I am missing my like 16, 1500s like pirate, not pirate, like just boat adventure. I'm
There
like,
is a live action adaptation of The Terror as a TV series.
I did see that. Well, I didn't see, I saw it being promoted, and it's like, I don't remember. Is it, I think that's on Hulu. I don't
I
remember.
think it is or was. I don't know about licenses anymore. It gets all
Yeah.
confusing.
So it's, I don't remember. I don't remember what people said about it, but it's just like, the book is good, but there's like some parts I'm just like, oh yeah,
It's also a
that
very
was.
thick book. Because I found a copy at like a library sale, because they have like, if it's a paperback, it's a dollar. So I have a paperback of The Terror, and it's like.
Yeah, well, Dan Simmons is he's a chunky writer. It's good, but it's like it's. I feel like he's definitely one of those writers. If you can't buy into the time period he's writing in, then you're gonna have a rough go.
Fair
And
enough.
so,
Yeah.
but like, I don't know. It's there. He does like at least in the Terror. I can't remember. I think I read another book of his. I can't remember the name of, but it's just like you can see his like historical studies of that time period, and it's like it's really
In
like
depth.
yeah, I'm just like. Of how like the you what is it the United Kingdom or England's navy, how that would have been run, like these rich people that are like, I was a terrible officer, but I have a bunch of money, so let's do this exploration, and you person with no life, you can join me. Because you have a good track history, and it's like, there are some other elements in there, but it's like there's a lot of like focus and like really neat things on just like survival of being stuck in a boat in the middle of a frozen sea. So there's a lot of cool things about it, but now I wanna, I know there's another one, I can't remember the name of it, but. There's like another book that came out that this guy was reading that this podcast was listening to. I think it's like The Way of the Rose or something like that. I can't remember. I'm blanking on the title, but pretty much it's these it's takes place of this group of like cardinals or something like that. Like these kind of like close, I can't think of the actual name, but these monks pretty much that are living in this area that are in this abbot, and they have like because they're so isolated, they have like a slightly different view of Christianity and like than what the church is at that point. And it's like apparently in the book they're just like, no, we need to go out and do our roots, which is like care for people, do all this like kind of all these things. And then it has like the church and the state like no. And like the Pope like actively hunting him down. I'm like, this sounds really interesting. Like, and I know that history a little bit, so it's just like I it's like I need to go back and find the title of that book. But it seemed really interesting. I don't know. I am enjoying reading what I'm reading, which is a lot of like there's been a lot of more present day and like kinda more fictional kind of takes of future stuff. Like, I don't know how often I talk about books reading, but it's just like, I think just the book I'm reading now that is like historical fiction, and I'm like, oh, it's hitting parts that I'm like, yes. I can't have it all the time, but it is nice to be part of. But that's not what we're here to talk about. If you guys want to hear about books, you got to wait a couple months. So.
Whenever that gets sorted out, since we've booked ourselves until December.
Yeah, well, I think there might be time to. No, we're not talking about this because
No.
I know how my brain's gonna
There's
go.
also
It.
holidays.
Who celebrates holiday? It's also the most busiest time for church work. So,
Holidays. Hey,
let's roll some dice.
Yeah, so we roll dice because we are nerds for tabletop RPGs and things of that nature. We typically roll dice. We're rolling a 20-sided dice to see who gets to talk about tonight's episode of Gravity Falls, because, yes, that's what we're here for.
Mm-hmm.
Before we lost track. Okay, I rolled my bunny dice. What did you get?
I rolled a 50.
Mm-hmm. What'd you roll?
I told you, a 50. On my... We weren't doing Call of Cthulhu? I don't know. I bumped my die and I didn't read the number. Hold on. I rolled an 11.
Okay. I rolled a 17.
It didn't matter.
You could have rolled an 18, 19, or 20.
No, watch. See? 12. Let's see. Different die. I can't read it. Roll behind my keyboard. That's a 4. No, the you wouldn't accept my 50. So, and the thing that we always forget to say, hey y'all, spoilers. Also, I did call this. Hop said she was tired, so I'm like prepared to talk about the episode.
Yeah. But I already said it was a 20-sided die, and you said 50, so people would have thought you were a little cheater.
People already think I'm a cheater because I'm a I'm a forever DM.
Yeah, but you don't DM the dice for Pointless Discourse.
Yeah. We were talking about this in the last episode we were recording for one of the shows, and I was like, hey, I'm perfectly fine tweaking rules, but it's like, whatever rules that we tweak, like, the world also follows that those rules. So, but the other thing is, like, however, once a die is rolled, like, that is what it is. Like, I don't fudge dice rolls. It's like, I roll it, and we just have to go with that, and it's like, all my players know that, like, I'm not gonna lie to them. Like, mm-hmm. I want them to win, but it's like, if I roll high, it's like, failure needs to be part of a story for it to be interesting, and this is a completely different story topic, so I'm gonna shut up and drink some water while you talk about Grunkle Stan.
I mean, yeah, we do open with Grunkle Stan, but I wouldn't call this a Grunkle Stan episode.
He's got some parts in it.
He's got some parts. So yeah, so we open up with Grunkle Stan packing up a big old RV and shouting to everybody to get everything, where he's asking for things like bug spray and what else is he saying? Oh yeah, mostly the bug spray, because he says it's the perfect thing to spray in the face of hitchhikers, to which... Dipper is confused about why everything's out, and Seuss explains that they're going on an Oregon road trip adventure. And Stan explains it's a revenge trip, that Seuss says it's fun being duct taped to a ceiling for 78 hours when people came to prank the Mystery Shack. So Stan said it's his turn to go and prank all his competitors, and we find Grenda and Candy are joining in on the road trip, where they call themselves the Road Dogs, and they go along.
I totally missed that line that Stan said. Like, I was like, why is he going on here? And then you saying that and reading it, I was like, I totally missed that line.
Yeah, so Stan says the more the merrier is fine, but he hands out NDAs to everybody and asks that, you know, nobody's parents or our lawyers, yes. To which they all get on the RV. And Seuss asks Dipper if he's going to be joining. And Mabel says that she's already packed everything for Dipper, including the weird stuff that was under his bed, to which it falls out of her hands. And you find out it's a box full of pictures of Wendy. And Mabel's like, what is that? And Dipper's like, I just, you know, from the old times. And everyone's like confused, uncomfortable. And Mabel's like, I thought you were past all of this. To which Dipper says, like, how do you just turn off the way you feel about someone? To which Mabel says, you know what? You got to move on. And Seuss goes, this road trip is your chance to meet new people. So Dipper looks at pictures of Wendy. Then he looks at the pamphlet. And then he decides to join. So we have the theme song, and then it cuts to Grenda talking about how amazing RVs are, because she's sitting at a table in a moving vehicle, and Candy is excitedly looking at informational pamphlets and wants to gain all of the travel knowledge that she possibly can. And Stan is explaining that pamphlets don't help anybody. He says he's the only travel guide that they'll need, and they stop by the first attraction, and Stan says it's run by the most black-hearted proprietor in all of Oregon. And we see this sign of Granny Sweekin's Yarn Ball. And Stan says, "Don't let her face fool you. The woman lit my car on fire on two non-consecutive occasions." So they head outside of the RV and look at the yarn ball, to which immediately Mabel says that she's going to jump in there. And Grenda and Candy end up joining of messing with this yarn ball. Dipper sees like a girl walk by, and Dipper completely messes up trying to talk to her. And I think his line is, "You come here often?" And she's like, "No, I'm a tourist." And Dipper's like, "You're funny and cute. I mean, like, not cute. I mean, you're not cute. Whew. Oh, let me start over." And he immediately says his name is Dopper. So she dumps her ice cream in his hands and walks away. To which Stan says that the prank is all up and ready to go, so they have to leave now. So they tie part of the yarn ball to the back of the RV, and Stan looks towards Dipper and says, like, "Did you get the cold shoulder?" So he gives him this whole spiel, and oh, Dipper says he's embarrassed and he ruined his chances with Wendy, to which Stan was like, "Chances."
Yeah, that made me laugh.
And then Dipper explains that if he doesn't know how to like figure out how to talk to girls, he's gonna end up just a sad loner like Toby Determined. And Stan's like, "Whoa, whoa, 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 don't say that about yourself." And he says that he's the expert on women, where you have to be confident and funny, but not too funny, and annoying in a lovable way. And Dipper says, "That kind of sounds like being a jerk." To which Stan says, "I mean, being a jerk is a, or being jerky is just a term non-jerks use to badmouth innocent jerks." He says that you need confidence, comedy, and some third word starting with a C. And those are the three C's of the Stan Pine dating technique. And he suggests that Dipper try that at the next tourist location. So Dipper thinks on it, and Stan gets everybody on the RV, and as they drive away, it unfurls the yarn ball completely. So there's no more giant yarn ball. And Granny Sweekin runs out and goes, "Why you all, why you gall darn son of a no good." And
All the old people curses.
yeah, and says that she'll get Stan. So then they drive up to an upside down house, and Stan calls it Upside Down Town, the nausea capital of the state. Whatever you don't use the bathrooms. So they give everybody Velcro shoes so they can walk on the ceiling when they go inside. And they all run in, where Grenda and Mabel are like enjoying themselves. And Dipper notices a girl in there, to which Stan says, "You know, be confident." So Dipper walks up and starts schmoozing up this girl, and it seems to go well, where he gets to like take a picture with her and everything. But before they can really talk, her father exclaims that they need to get back before their mother goes, or we have to get to Canada before your mother gives birth. To which the girl says it's a long story. But Dipper follows up with, "Maybe you could tell me sometime." So she writes her email address in the palm of his hand and walks away. So Dipper is excited and goes, "A girl gave me her email and it wasn't out of pity." And he tries to jump in the air, being excited, but falls to the floor because he's in upside down town, and he ends up right outside the gift shop. And Dipper starts like being just generally confident. So he's like saying hi to Mabel and Grenda and Candy, and we notice Candy blushes. So I didn't realize this happened so late in the season. I thought it happened much earlier than this.
I forgot that Candy and Dipper were ever interested in each other. I forgot. There's only one part of this episode I remembered as soon as it started playing, and we're getting there.
Okay. But yeah, so Grenda points out that like she doesn't know if it's the blood pooling to her head, but Dipper seems different. And Candy says, "It's a good different." So then Stan shouts to Seuss that everything's ready. So they start jumping on the floor that causes the house to roll over and turn right side up, and they all run to the RV and drive away. And Stan laughs about how it's no longer upside down now. And a civilian walks past. What a lovely normal home.
Stan Banks! I didn't realize that, like, in the background, his gift shop also has, like, there's another store that has, like, all the signs are upside down.
Oh, that's fun.
Which, like, makes sense of something he does later.
Mm-hmm. So then, Dipper is, like, looking at his hands and saying, like, do I just go ahead and email her right away? But Stan says that you should practice on multiple girls because the more you do it, the better you get at it. And Dipper appreciates the advice, and Stan calls himself the Adviceberg, and that's just the tip of it. So then we see Dipper flirts with girls at Logland, a corn maze, where Zeus walks in randomly as everybody else leaves for the RV, which becomes important later. And then as they're leaving the corn maze, Stan's like, everybody on board? And Mabel goes, probably. And they drive away, and Zeus is left behind. And Zeus decides, you know what? They'll come back for me. They wouldn't just leave me alone like that. So then they're at it's called Septic Ridge RV Park. And we have Dipper and Stan hanging out together in a hot tub, to where Stan is telling stories about scars, like, over his body. And Dipper says that it's his best day ever. And as he holds his arms up, you just see, like, patches of blue all over him, and it's all, like, different phone numbers that he's acquired over time. And Dipper says, you know, is it bad to flirt with this many girls at once? I'm just trying to get over one girl. I don't want to hurt all these other girls' feelings. And Stan says, the best part about flirting on a road trip is you're never going to run into these people again.
Dun, dun, dun!
And then we have, on the other side of the RV, we have the three girls hanging out. They're setting up s'mores, and they're playing Truth or Dare or Don't. And they point to Candy, and she chooses Don't, and they all make fun of her for choosing Don't, which I don't know why it's an option. I would have taken that option plenty of times as a teenager. And so she ultimately picks Truth. To which Mabel asks if she likes someone, and she starts blushing right away. So Candy's like, I don't know, like, it just started liking somebody. And all the Grenda and Mabel chant for Candy to admit who it is. And Candy goes, it begins with a D and ends with an Ipper. And the other two girls are shocked, and they gasp. And Mabel looks over at Grenda and is like, ready? 3, 2, 1, and they scream so loud that Dipper and Stan hear them, and Stan's like, man, the coyotes sound worse than I remember.
I don't know how they wouldn't hear. they're literally just across the lot.
The RV, yeah. So then Mabel gets the idea in her head to play matchmaker once again, saying that all her dreams are coming true so that her brother and her best friend can be together. And Candy's like, you know what? Like, how do I approach him about this? And Mabel says, I've got a plan, and stuffs popcorn in her mouth. And it's like, I got a plan. Or no, the marshmallows.
It was marshmallows, which all I could think was, like, your orthodontist is going to be pissed. Because I think that's one of the foods.
Braces, yeah.
Yeah, it's one of the foods. Like, popcorn, I think I can't remember marshmallows. It seems
gums
like one of the
bad, too.
Gums. And that's the funny thing, because they're all like, everyone's like, oh, no, I clean it real good. They'll never know. And it's like, I think every, like, little post, like, no, dentists and orthodontists, like, they know. And then there's, like, their whole thread of they know more than you think they do of just, like, hey, how the mouth is. And everyone's like, I'm never going back to my dentist.
So Stan gets everybody ready for the next day. It says that they're going to be breaking laws and breaking hearts at their next attraction. And Mabel asks if it's the walk in the biggest park. And Stan goes, sort of. It's a Mystery Mountain, 5 times the size of the Mystery Shack. And what's worse, she has real attractions. And Candy's like, oh, I read about this place. They have half human, half spider creatures and a mummy museum and a sky tram. And Stan's like, even their made up legends are better than ours. And he says, today the mountain falls. So then Mabel starts her plan where she nods over at Grenna and goes, I get carsick in the back and I sit at the front today. And Grenna goes, is it big enough for 2 people? Can I, like, have this whole seat to myself? And it forces Dipper to go all the way to the back as Stan's confused about what's happening. And Dipper realizes he's sitting next to Candy in the back, and Candy immediately like doesn't know how to act around Dipper and announces her full name and says that she's in the sixth grade, and then she starts scooting towards Dipper. And Dipper's like, "You're sitting pretty close," and then she keeps Grinda and Mabel are giggling and like putting a curtain over the back seat so that they're alone. And Candy was like, "Will you walk around the like Mystery Mountain with me today?" He's like, "Yeah, I mean, isn't that what we're doing?" As he's scooting away from Candy. And Candy's like, "I mean, just the two of us, you and me." And Dipper is like confused, to which Stan ends up slamming on the brakes of the car as they find themselves in front of the Mystery Mountain entrance. And it cuts, and now they're standing outside the RV, where Stan says, "I got $5 for whoever can tip over the big blue ox. Go, go, go!" And rushes them all out. And Candy looks over to Dipper and says, like, she'll see him in there. And Stan's like, "Why are you look so mopey?" And Dipper says, "You got it worked too well. Candy just asked me out on a date." And Stan is like, "Look at this little champion." And Dipper's like, "No, I mean, she's great and she's sweet, but like, he's never thought of her like that." So he thinks it's all moving too fast and he needs to be honest and he's not ready for all of like, you know, the repercussions of his actions. And Stan is like,
Men.
and Stan is like, "Look, you're just obsessed with Wendy. It's getting in the way of your future. If you move on, you've got to say yes to whatever comes your way." And he looks up at the ticket booth and sees a lady and says, "Speaking of which," and he immediately goes over to start flirting with her. And Dipper's like, "But I didn't want to lead Candy on." And Stan's like, "Ah, I just watch and learn." And he walks up to this woman and goes, "I seem to have lost my number. Can I have yours?" And she starts like giggling and says, "You are a riot." And says, "We don't normally get men this handsome around these parts," which should have been the indicator. No offense against Uncle Stan, Grunkle Stan, but how old is he?
70s.
Yeah, he's pretty old. So then, yeah, Stan starts laughing and says that, like, reads her name tag and her name's Darlene. And he says, "Between you and me, what I'm doing here is a little secret." And she flirts back with Stan essentially as Dipper's stuck watching. And the lady says, "You know what? I'm about to go on a break. You want to take the SkyTram up to Widow's Peak?" And Stan looks over to Dipper and whispers to him, "Take my advice or don't, but clearly I know what I'm doing," as he goes and walks off with the lady. And while that's happening, we have Mabel and Grinda kind of stalking Candy and Dipper as they're entering Mummy Town, USA. And Mabel's like, "A real date. What are they going to name their baby?" And Grinda says, "If I had a baby, I would name it Grinda 2, the sequel." And Mabel's like, "You'd make such a good mother."
I
So, yeah.
was right. Okay, I was trying to figure out where I heard this character, her voice from, and it's from Bob's Burgers.
What character?
Darlene.
No, what character in Bob's Burgers?
Oh, I don't know. I just it sounded I'm looking that up now. Eleanor? It's apparently she's not in a lot of episodes.
Gotcha.
But I'm like, her voice sounded familiar. Like, it sounds like a Bob's Burgers character.
It does.
It's an old lady. So,
So yeah,
but
so
no,
we.
she's a voice actor of other stuff. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm just trying to turn through this because my voice is giving out on me too. So yeah,
Rude.
so we have Candy and Dipper sitting there, and Candy tries to say like the place is enchanting, and Dipper's like, "I don't know about the phrase new mummies daily. How does that even work?" And Candy's like, "The mountain's full of mysteries. Like, how did my head end up falling on your shoulder?" And she goes, "Beep," and like leans over on him. Dipper's like, this is all according to plan and stuff." And then one of the girls he talked to earlier from the corn maze comes up and goes, "Oh, hey, Dipper." He goes, "Corn maze girl." And then she's like, "I was wondering when you call." And Candy's like, "Who is this?" Dipper's like, I mean, somebody, but nobody." But to which the girl from the upside down house, Emma Sue, walks up and says, like, "Oh, I didn't recognize you right side up, Dipper. You'll never guess where my mom gave birth. Who are these girls?" As she's walking up. To which a third girl walks up with a Logland hat on and says, like, Dipper, by having a call, did our romantic log ride mean nothing to you? And Candy's like, I can't believe it. You agreed to go on a date with me and you were seeing all these other girls. And they're like, which one of us do you like then out of the four girls? And he goes, I, and begins sweating. All of you? I mean, I don't like any of you. I mean, I was just trying to learn how to talk to girls. And all of them walk away in disgust, saying, like, unbelievable, so gross, what a jerk. And Dipper says, Candy says to Dipper, I thought you were a nice guy, but I guess you only care about yourself, and walks away from everything. So Dipper feels bad, and he's like, I gotta go find Stan, everything's ruined, he'll know how to fix all of this. To which we find Stan and Darlene sitting together on a fence in a place near a giant spider forest. And the girl's like, oh, it's so scary here. And Stan's like, don't worry, spider people stuff is just an urban legend. And she's like, you're so brave.
He's you're
like,
so brave.
So then he says, what can I say, I'm a real catch. And then she blinks and her eyes completely change, and he goes, yeah, the catch of the day. And he's like, I think your contacts fell out. To which she begins to scream. And Dipper is trying to ask people for information on, like, have you seen an old guy, big ears, orange nose, real know-it-all. And the Mystery Mountain worker at a stand points to an animatronic where his flame retardant raccoon don't hug forest fires. And Dipper's like, ugh. So he's trying to find Stan. And then he hears noise from the walkie-talkie that Stan had given everybody. And Stan's like, hey, buddy boy, so remember how we were talking about my technique? Well, it can lead to unexpected consequences. And Dipper's like, yeah, you don't say. Where are you? And Stan's like, look, well, I know where the mummies come from. Bad news is, and we zoom out to find that he's in a giant spider silk cocoon hanging from the ceiling. And he's like, I'm about to become a mummy. So it turns out Darlene is one of those spider people. But beyond that, you know, the date's been okay. And Dipper's back at the entrance, freaking out about how he just found out that this woman is a spider person. And Stan's like, I don't know how it happened. One minute we were having a perfect date, and the next minute she's growing extra legs and encasing me in webbing. Women, right? And Dipper's like, you couldn't tell she was a spider? And Stan's like, I was blinded by flattery, okay? Also, this acid she spit in my face, I'm up the mountain by Widow's Peak. So Dipper is like, I'm going to find you, stay put. And Stan, in his web cocoon, is like, yep, I'm going to stay right here. To which Darlene, the now half spider lady, shoots webbing to get rid of Stan's walkie-talkie. And she's like, what, are you trying to escape? And breaks the walkie-talkie. Stan's like, you tricked me, I'm 80% certain you didn't really love me at all. And she's like, a man will fall for anything. You're so funny, great story. I love a man with shoulder hair. He's like, you didn't mean it about my shoulder hair? And she's like, before she had transformed, she's like, who did you think was in charge? You and your fake confidence. And she says, starts mimicking him, like, I'm the master pickup artist here. Sorry, toots. This time you're getting used for your body. And she says, which to my weird species is food. Allow me to slip into something more horrifying. To which she, like, gets rid of her human form and just turns into, like, all spider person. To which, of course, Stan screams at this.
And I don't blame him. I freak out if a giant spider woman just appeared and ripped off her face.
And turned more spidery. So she goes off to try and find herself a drink to go with a vintage 70-something-year-old man. And Stan is like, oh my god, where's Dipper? And then we have the three girls sitting together and Candy saying that, like, she felt like a fool and saying that she needs to guard her heart in a cage of ice. And Grenda is using her calming voice to soothe her, and Candy says it's helping. And when Dipper runs to them to ask for help, Mabel calls him a betrayer, and he says that he needs him help. And Candy's like, with what, some sick jealousy trap? And she high-fives Mabel. And Dipper's like, I'm sorry about everything, but Stan's in trouble, you can totally kill me later. And says that he'll explain it along the way. So the girls do end up following him. And they head up there to find, or they start heading up there. And then we cut back to the inside of the cave where Stan is like, I don't know if you're really there or not, but if you are, please save me, Paul Bunyan, because he made the comment about the blue ox earlier. To which Grenda shows up and screams, "Mr. Parnes!" And he was like, "Wow, did it really work?" And then he realizes the kids are in the cave. So Grenda is tearing apart the silk that's wrapped around Stan, and he falls. And he says, "Before the rest of the venom sets in, we need to leave." So they all start to run out of the cave, and they find Darlene meets them at the entrance. And Darlene's like, "Where are you?" and runs after Stan. And Candy says, "We should head to the Sky Tram," and she has a plan for it. So Stan hops in and goes, "Ride like the wind, Sky Tram," and it moves very slowly. And the recording calls it the Trombeyance, the world's slowest treetop tram ride. Enjoy the sights at 0.1 miles per hour. And they all are freaking out about how it can't go any faster. And the recording responds, No. It does not go faster." So then the spider climbs on top of the tram that they're in, or starts to like climb over a bunch of the trams, opening them, looking for them. And the tram is like, "Are you enjoying the view? Take a picture." As she pops her head into the window, everybody screams and she starts coding it in webbing, to which they all agree that they're gonna die. But Candy says that she's read this in the pamphlet and she's got a plan. So she says there's an emergency drop, and below them should be Oregon's largest Paul Bunyan statue. And then Old Reliable goes off in, and she starts counting down. And they all doubt her, like, "Are you crazy? You can't just pull the switch on the tram." So she pulls the release lever anyway. It falls down, and they all start screaming. And the spider lady is also falling and screaming. To which, before they hit the ground, the geyser goes off. And it forces it up into the air, and they bounce and roll across Mystery Mountain, going through the ticket booth, below the Paul Bunyan statue. And then the spider lady is severed from the webbing and lies beneath the statue as the foot of it crushes down on her. And she struggles to break free. You know, like what we do to real house spiders, to squash them. And she says her only weakness, a giant boot, a giant newspaper, or a giant cup would have also been pretty bad. You know, spider things. So they all crawl out of the tram unharmed. And the recording says, you know, "Thank you for riding it today. Tell your friends it was a boring, boring ride."
Oh, poor
And
guy.
then Stan asks how she knew it would work, and Candy is proud to say it's her useless traveling pamphlets that saved the day. And then Darlene, in her human form, comes out and she's like, "Stanny, I'm sorry. I don't know what came over me. You'll let me out, right?" Stan's like, "What, you think I'm some kind of amnesiac?" And she goes, "You're so funny. Have you considered being a comedian?" And like he stands up straight. He's like, "You know what? Actually, I have. Comedy is too subtle these days." And tries to walk over, and the kids immediately pull Stan away from her. She turns back into a spider trying to bite him. Stan's like, "Right. Yeah, we don't want that." To which she says that Stan wins this round, but mark her words, as long as there are men like him out there with dumb one-liners and pickup moves, she'll r never run out of prey. As she starts to spit acid at Stan's feet. So Stan's like, "Get in the car, get to the car." And they drive away, drive off Mystery Mountain, and then they start to head back to the Mystery Shack. Dipper immediately starts ripping off the numbers from all the different girls he's gotten. And then Stan finally admits that he's never been a expert or woman. He's been divorced once, slapped more times than he can remember, and that confidence can get you pretty far, and that pickup artists tend to get their heads bit off. When it comes to women, he's a failure. And Dipper's like, "Hey, we're both failures." He says even if his t dating tips were bad, he hasn't thought of Wendy for the first time in a while. And it did teach him how to act with more confidence. He just didn't needs to learn how to use the knowledge for good. And then he goes to Wendy and apologizes to her in his
Wendy.
own way. Pa
Candy.
Candy.
It's like
It's
she
because I
was
said
there.
surprise. No, he
I was there the
apologizes.
whole time.
He apologizes to Candy in his own way by handing her a pamphlet that reads out a loser's attempt at an apology, and Dipper like drew his little face on it. And Candy says it's okay, and says that the road makes people do crazy things. And plus, after seeing you flee that spider like a baby, I lost interest in you. Dipper's like, "Yep, deserved." So then they get back to Gravity Falls and they're excited. And Dipper says that he feels a little bad about ruining other tourist traps. And he says that everybody loves pranks. And he's like, and I never have to face consequences. And he looks at his own mystery shack and goes, sweet lord. And the owners of the various tourist traps he's messed with are all messing with his place. So the corn maze runner smashes one of the RV's headlights with a baseball bat in the corn maze outfit and says, that's what you get. And runs off. And what else is ruined? I think the sweet granny is writing like graffiti about how Stan sucks. Like you said, the upside down guy is flipping the signs upside down on the place.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to they don't have a picture of it. I'm trying to see. Yeah, I don't see it. Like I think they write like something about the mystery shack on there. I don't know. It's a lot of graffiti and
pretty trashed.
Mm-hmm. And then they break the light.
Yeah, so then Stan's like, I don't understand. I completely don't deserve this. And Dipper's like, what are we going to do to help clean this up? And Mabel says that Seuss will take care of it. By the way, where's Seuss? And then the credits roll and Seuss is seen, but we're zoomed out really far out. And Seuss is in the very middle of the corn maze. And he says to himself, okay, Seuss, remember what your grandma taught you. When you get lost, stay exactly where you are. Don't move. And then after a little bit, he goes, you know what? I can make a pretty good scarecrow. That's the episode. I did it.
Huzzah! So, character revelations, like, I don't know, they're getting shorter and shorter as we get less and less episodes. But, I don't know, I have a feeling once we get to Weird Mageddon, I wonder how big the character revelations is going to be. Ooh. But yeah. And this was mentioned before, this is when it's revealed that Candy's in the sixth grade, but it's not really specific if she's going into or leaving by the time it gets to the fall. Also, I didn't remember this, but Stan does mention that he was divorced once, but according to his character revelation, it says he was married to a woman named Marilyn who divorced him after 6 hours.
Nice.
Like, I don't remember that story. And then there's other stuff. But, so the Do Not Touch box, the letter that he intended to give to Wendy and, when they go find the shapeshifter in the bunkers in the Do Not Touch box with a whole bunch of the pictures that we saw. Also, with Stan's map of all of the tourist attractions going to, the Tent of Telepathy is crossed off as it's no longer a tourist attraction due to a little child's arrest.
He's in adult jail.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember who Carla Corky is. Oh, the person that, and apparently she's mentioned again, but, there we go. But yeah, there's just like kind of scanning through there. I was reading it and then my brain got distracted. Apparently it's not canon, but the fire retardant raccoon is found, like that we saw in Mystery Mountain, was first depicted as the retardant raccoon in an unaired pilot, which me reading, like scanning through the notes, missed fire, and that's how I read. I was like, wait, what?
The what kind of raccoon?
I was like, what a fish. And apparently, Darlene, her kind is mentioned in Quentin Tremblay's State of the Union, where he is focused on what he thinks is mankind's only true fear, gigantic man-eating spiders. Which is noted that a species similar to the giant man-eating spiders, the arachnomorphs, are introduced in this episode, thus proving Tremblay was right.
Good for him.
He's the gift that keeps on giving. And it's pretty much, I believe that's the most part. Oh, apparently, on the side of the map, there's a text box that says, "Orga's known for its natural beauty, but let's be honest, guys. Trees get born after a while. That's why man created tourist traps. There's a really big shoe, for example. A yarn ball is neat. I haven't been out there, but I heard good things."
That's fun.
But just scanning through, that's pretty much it. Like, apparently the raccoon was supposed to be a bear. Or originally it was named, it was a bear instead of a raccoon. And I believe this, that Darlene originally had a much more terrifying design. But I'm pretty sure, even though this is for like a slightly older age group, ripping off your face to have a giant insect underneath is gonna be pretty creepy. So Hop, I have a question for you. Who was your favorite character?
I think for how, on one hand, for how little Seuss is in it, all his parts are fantastic. And just the scene of him standing in the, now that's your answer. You can't fill it, but you can't write in my answer for me.
You're right in my answers for me.
Only after you actually give an
I
answer.
know.
So Seuss is fun. Grenda is fun. I'm trying to think of any of the side characters. I do kind of like Darlene. I'll put Darlene.
Yeah.
She's a good villain.
I like her voice. This is fun. Yeah, win this round, Stan. But mark my words. Let's see. Favorite character. Oh my goodness. So, for context for people who will find out later, we recorded one of the episodes for our next series this past Sunday, and I had to tell the person that was our guest that I always get stuck on what is my favorite character or who do I feel the most that I'm like. But in that episode, we all chose the same person. It was the only good character in that movie. Let's see. I think I'll go with Grenda. She made me laugh a lot.
She is a good one.
Just every time she yells, Paul Bunyan? A coyote?
who am I most like? I can
Yeah.
say I'm not Stan or Dipper.
Huh.
Surprise. I don't think I'm Mabel, because if people like each other, I'm like, they'll figure it out. I'm not gonna force them. I guess I could see myself in Grenda, where Grenda's kind of like, oh, somebody else has a plan. I'll help them figure out the plan and do it because it seems like a good idea, because my friend says it's a good idea. I've never been left behind like Seuss has. Who else is there? I'm not a spider lady who's literally a black widow, that kills, lures men and kills them for it. I don't think I'm any of the tourist tra attraction owners, and I don't think I'm any of the girls that Dipper flirts with.
You're not the girl with the log on her
I don't think so. I could be
head?
Candy in some scenarios, but I don't think I've ever actually pursued anyone I had a crush on as much as Candy did. So I'll say I'm Grenda. I'm there supporting the friend group because I think it's a good idea.
Watching this episode, or like I had like a flashback of a memory when friends of mine did this to these two other friends of mine, where they
Like
locked the,
matchmaking.
yeah, and like it was, I look at it now and I was like, even back then I was like, what are you guys doing? Like, to this point, like me not having like the idea of what they're doing, but it was just like, they've forced like these like the girls like forced like these the guy and the girl like in this room, and it's like they have to talk. And like I remember like walking up and I'm like, what are you guys doing? And like the girl that I think was like the ringleader, I still don't know why this was like, this is how I'm going to distract distract D fans. Like, what, do you want to fight? And I'm like, no, like seriously, what are you guys doing? Like, this doesn't make sense. And like that whole thing when like Mabel and Grendha are like switching seats and forcing Dipper to sit next to Candy. It was just like I got the like the same vibe of like, because it felt like that awkward energy that was in that room that like I didn't feel it, but I could see it as they're like, well, we're in this room by ourselves and we have, I guess we should talk, you know, as teenagers decide this is the best way to start a relationship. And well, then after that, it, well, it didn't take knowing where, well, I know where one of them are now, like, because he just went, just got his top surgery, and I don't know where the other one, what the guy was doing, so, yeah, interesting. But anyway, that doesn't answer the question. Let's see. So yeah, I'm definitely not Mabel to play matchmaker, coming up with plans. Definitely not Grendha because it was like, what are you guys even doing? I'm not supporting or I'm not approving or disapproving. It's just, what the heck are you guys doing? This is stupid. Yeah, and then like Grunkle Stan, I don't think I would connect with him in this, because like that whole like just pick a plunge on the whim, and I'm like, that doesn't make sense. As someone who just like attempted to talking to like to pursue a relationship on the internet, it's like my pickup line is, I saw that you said you like to read. What are you reading? Or, I read your interests. Please, expand on said thing. Talk about your interests. I don't know how to start a conversation. Do it. So, yeah, so not a Grunkle Stan of just going up and being the con man or pickup artist. And don't think I'd be Dipper either, because I haven't done that. I now I remember where what how why this episode reminds me of. It reminds me of like the Drake and Josh episode where they make a bet to see who can get more dates, and it's like the episode where Drake finds somebody that he actually likes and doesn't want to do the thing.
And wants to give up on it, yeah.
Yeah, which ruin like but Josh is like, no, I'm actually doing. I actually have women talking to me because his mom decided to help him. I was trying to like, this episode reminds me of something. I couldn't remember what it was.
That makes sense.
I'm gonna have to say Seuss. Like, he's just there, like, yeah, we're having fun, road trip, and then is just like, what's going on? Because he's literally lost in a corn maze. I never been lost in a corn maze like that, but I'm that's how connected I am to any attempt for romance. I would say Ford if he showed up for like a half a second.
His name was even mentioned.
Yeah. If Waddles was there, I would have been him. Like, it's that's that is my interaction with any like pursuit of any form of romance. It's just like, all right, you guys do that. Cool.
I'll be over doing this thing.
Yeah. Is there food? So I will go with Seuss.
Sounds good. So yeah, I don't have anything else to add this episode because my
You tired?
the yawning isn't stopping.
Yeah. So guys, once again, we are 4 episodes out to the end of Gravity Falls, and then we will be starting our new series. So, yeah, prepare your butts, because hype engines are going. But until next time, we'll talk to y'all later. Bye-bye.